Ranga glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 3, Text 15. Mito yadesham bhavita vivado madhu amadatamra vilochananam naisham dvadopaya iya atonyo mai udyate antardatate swayam sma mito yadaisham bhavita vivado Madvamadatamra vilochananam Naisham varopaya iyanatonyo Mayudyate tentardate swayam sma Mito yadaisham bhavita vivado madvamadatamra vilochananam naisham varopaya iyanatonyo mayudyaten Tardadate swayam sma. Mito yadesham bhavita vivado. Madvamadatamra vilochananam. Naisham varopaya iyan yatonyo. Mayudyaten dardadate swayam sma. Vaishnavis. Yadaisham bhavita vivado. Madhamada Tamra Vivochananam. Shambhala Payana Tonyo Ayurveda Vivesayam Sma Madha Madha Tamra Vilochananam. Shambhala Payana Tonyo Maya Vyatento Dadate Soyam Sa Mitaha. One another Yada when Esham of them Bhavita will take place. Vivadaha, quarrel. Madhu Amada, intoxication by drinking. Atamra Vilochanana, of their eyes being copper red. Na, not. Esham of them, Vada Upayaha, means of disappearance. Iyan, like this. Ataha, besides this. Anyaha, alternative. Mayi, on my. Udyate, disappearance. Antaha dadate will disappear. Svayam themselves. Sma certainly. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. When they quarrel among themselves, influenced by intoxication, with their eyes red like copper because of drinking madhu, then only will they disappear. Otherwise, it will not be possible. On my disappearance, this incident will take place. Purport. The Lord and His associates appear and disappear by the will of the Lord. They are not subjected to the laws of material nature. No one was able to kill the family of the Lord, nor was there any possibility of their natural death by the laws of nature. The only means, therefore, for their disappearance was to make show of a fight among themselves, as if brawling in intoxication due to drinking. That so-called fighting would take place by the will of the Lord. Otherwise, there would be no cause for their fighting. Just as Arjuna was made to be illusion by family affection, and thus the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, so the Yadu dynasty was made to be intoxicated by the will of the Lord. And nothing more. The devotees and associates of the Lord are completely surrendered souls. Thus, they are transcendental instruments in the hands of the Lord and can be used in any way the Lord desires. The pure devotees enjoy such pastimes of the Lord because they want to see Him happy. Devotees of the Lord never assert independent individuality. On the contrary, they utilize their individuality in pursuit of the desires of the Lord. And this cooperation of the devotees with the Lord makes a perfect scene of the Lord's pastimes. Om Vijnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Krishna is being described here in such a way that he could be likened to the producer and director of a Hollywood film in which he is also starring. So, he's decided what the final scene is going to be. Now, when he disappears from the stage, goes back to his Nitya Lila and his eternal spiritual abode, Goloka Vrindavan. When he arrived on the scene in this world as the son of Vasudev and Devaki, in the prison house of King Kamsa. Before he came, and appearing in that way, he made an arrangement that some of his eternal associates from the spiritual world and some of the demigods who serve in the cosmic administration under his direction would also appear on earth to assist him in his pastimes, which were variegated. Some of them were carried out in Vrindavan with Nanda and Yashoda, cowherd boys, cowherd girls, cows. Some of his pastimes were carried out in Mathura and Dwarka and other places, which were more of a Kshatriya nature. So here we're specifically hearing about those who took birth in the Yadu dynasty to assist the Lord in his pastimes. So Krishna had the script all worked out, how they're going to appear, how they're going to disappear. So there was an arrangement made, and because these souls were all surrendered to Krishna, they played their parts as directed by the Lord. Doesn't mean they didn't have their individuality. They have their individuality as being described here, but they willingly employed their individuality to satisfy the Lord. Oh, Krishna wants it to be done this way? Great. We'll do it this way. Of course, they may have had some assistance from Yoga Maya, putting them into the proper mentality, just like Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport, that Arjuna was put into illusion so the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. So also these members of the Yadu dynasty and were put into a particular situation so that Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, parts of the Srimad Bhagavatam that are about them could be spoken for our instruction. So it's a very interesting topic, this individuality. This is an essential aspect of Krishna consciousness as taught by Srila Prabhupada, because there are certain people, certain philosophers who do not believe in the eternal individuality of the soul or Krishna or God. They think that everything merges into oneness, where there's no individuality, or everything becomes void, nothing. So this idea of eternal individuality is essential to the practice of bhakti yoga, because bhakti means devotional service. Krishna says, bhaktiya mam abhijananti yavanyasyasmi tatvataha. Only by devotional service can I be known as I am. So that means there has to be individuality. There has to be, for there to be service, there has to be the person who's being served and the servant who's serving. For an exchange like that, there has to be individuality. Has to be two, at least. Because if there's just one, you don't have that. So it's like in the pranam mantra to Srila Prabhupada, namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschita Deshatarane. This was Srila Prabhupada's mission, to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, which are about devotional service. So the corollary to teaching the real truth, the absolute truth, that we are eternal fragmental parcels of Krishna, we're by nature eternal servants of Krishna, who is an individual. The corollary of that teaching is it's opposed to other ideas that people are proposing. In other words, it's opposed to the idea that everything ultimately is just all one. And it's also opposed to the idea that some people have that we're all just in some big illusion now, and when we come to the ultimate understanding, there's nothing. Void. So those are the three options: eternal individuality, oneness, or nothingness. And unfortunately, at this particular time, at the time when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he encountered a lot of impersonalism. I was reading over some of his early lectures in 1966 on Bhagavad Gita in New York City. And again during the question sessions, people who were there, men and women who were there asking questions, they didn't have a very clear understanding of eternal individuality. You know, they really tended towards this impersonal concept. And Srila Prabhupada would very patiently try to explain to these questioners what the real essence was. So, like on one occasion, you know, he was speaking in the class about the spirit soul and how now it's generated because of its activities, a material body. It's in the world of matter, therefore it's generating a material body. But it really belongs in the spiritual world, where it will generate a spiritual body. And, you know, some people are questioning him and about this individuality of the spirit soul. And one woman who's present asks him, in this world, in these bodies, are there individuals? Because she's thinking, I mean, Srila Prabhupada asked her, you don't feel your individuality? Like, you're an individual, you can't feel that? She said, well, but if ultimately there's one supreme spirit that we all merge into, what does that mean for us now? Are we individuals? Do we have individuality? And, Srila Prabhupada was just trying to get this woman to understand. And she said, I can't say that I understand that I have a spiritual body that, and really I can't. And Srila Prabhupada said, well, if you can't, then just try to understand. If you don't realize it, then try to understand it from the Bhagavad Gita. And, he kept explaining, and she kept insisting on this idea of merging, that when you enter the spiritual world, you merge and you lose your individuality. And he pointed out that, okay, now we're merged in matter. You're merged in matter, I'm merged in matter, but we have our individuality. So just like if you become merged into the spiritual world, you become merged in the world of spirit, it doesn't mean that you lose your individuality. Just like you don't lose your individuality when you're merged in matter. So he very patiently tried to explain like that. And then in another class, Bhagavad Gita class in 1966 in New York City, again this question came up. This time it was some boy. And, he was asking a question. He was saying to Srila Prabhupada, okay, you're saying that we're all part of Krishna. And at the time of death, we merge into Krishna. Like you're saying, right now we're kind of surrounded by Krishna, ended in Krishna, but at the time of death we become one with Krishna. Prabhupada explained, no, one in quality. And the young man just can't really understand or grab it. And Srila Prabhupada again gives the same example. Says, now it's like we're merged in matter, but we're individuals. So when we go to the spiritual world and associate with Krishna, we also remain individuals. Why is it so hard to understand? And he gave a further example. We're individuals because of the spirit soul. Said, if you dissected my body, you won't find the spirit soul. You won't find it there. It's beyond, you know, the ability of the material mind and senses to perceive. And he explained that you can't find the soul, but, you know, if you examine what you do find, there's blood, there's bone. You have blood and bone. I have blood and bone. It's all the same. You know, we're kind of merged into matter. But what makes us individuals is the soul. That is the source of our individuality. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitanam ekabhunam yovididati kaman. We're all individual, personal, conscious, living entities because of the presence of the soul. But among all the eternal, conscious, individual beings, one of them is supreme. That is the personality of Godhead. So he kind of went on with this boy, you know, just trying to convince him that just like he told the woman in the other class, now we're merged in matter, but we're individuals. So when we become one with Krishna in the sense of becoming one in quality, not in quantity with the Supreme Lord, will remain individuals. So this is something that we all experience. You know, I was speaking on a radio show last night, and you know, the question came up, you know, that, well, this consciousness, you know, what makes you, you know, that's not very scientific to talk about consciousness, because it's not something we can measure and manipulate. But I just replied, well, but it's not a matter of belief. It's the most real fact of our existence that we're all experiencing consciousness. And consciousness is individual and personal. Like, I have my consciousness, you have your consciousness. So consciousness implies choice, independence, free will. So Srila Prabhupada was explaining to this boy, you know, you have your consciousness, and that means you have choice. And Prabhupada gave the example. It's just like, I invite you to come to this class, but I don't force you. You know, you can come at any time. You can get up and leave, walk out the door if you don't like it. You know, so you have your freedom, your choice. So he explained to the boy, if I told you, I invite you to class, but once you come in the door, you have to stay here, you would hate me. You wouldn't come. I'm not interested in your class. So you have your free will. And then Srila Prabhupada explained in another context, yes, we're all individuals. We have our free will. Now, he often said this Krishna consciousness, it's a voluntary movement. It's not forced. Everyone is a volunteer. They have their free choice. So, but Krishna also has his free choice. And I'm going to read this directly because it was, you know, it's a very interesting statement. Srila Prabhupada said this in a Bhagavad Gita class in Los Angeles, November 27, 1968, on this question of individuality. He said, "You are my disciple. I am your spiritual master. But you have got your individuality. I have got my individuality. If you don't agree with me, you can leave me. That is your individuality. So if you don't like Krishna, you cannot become in Krishna consciousness. That's your individuality. So this individuality continues. Similarly, Krishna, if he does not like you, he may refuse you, your Krishna consciousness. Not that you are following all the rules and regulations. Krishna is obliged to accept you. No, if he thinks that he's nonsense, I cannot accept him, he'll reject you." So this individuality is also there. Now, we shouldn't think, I mean, Krishna actually has to like you. You can't imagine, just imagine that Krishna likes you and you can do all nonsense. That isn't the meaning here. You know, following the rules and regulations is necessary, but it's not sufficient. It means Krishna's will, his free decision to accept or reject a devotee has to be there. And, you know, that's why devotees pray to Radharani, you know, to be merciful and have some influence on Krishna. So, this question of individuality is a big one for each member of the Krishna consciousness movement, because Srila Prabhupada desired that there be unity and diversity and unity. And that means Krishna doesn't want competitor Krishnas, but he doesn't want robots either. He wants that each soul willingly, voluntarily surrender to him. So that's the difficulty. You know, is there too much unity so that everything becomes dictatorial? Or does everything become so diverse that there's no unity? So it's a difficult thing to balance, but we all have to do it. So Krishna said to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, "For me, you, all these members of the royal order, all these kings assembled here on this battlefield," there was never a time when any of us did not exist, nor shall any of us cease to be in the future. So that's the position where all individuals eternally, and we have to voluntarily use our individuality, either in the service of our own selfish desires or in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, your desire to make him happy, like Srila Prabhupada states in his purport. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a great class as usual. So I certainly agree with your conclusion, but my question is this. It sounds like it's not such an easy thing. I mean, initially the four Kumaras didn't have it right. Sukadeva Goswami didn't have it right. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says, after many births and deaths, one who's actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all this, such a great soul. So it takes, you know, Krishna himself is acknowledging that it may take many births and deaths. So why is it that, once again, I agree with what you said, but why is it that it seems like it's difficult? I mean, the four Kumaras didn't get it initially. Sukadeva Goswami didn't get it. Krishna's himself saying that it takes many, many births. What's going on?
Well, we're very fortunate to be recipients of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So we have the good fortune of being recipients of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, the deliverers of the most fallen. So it's a special opportunity, so we should take advantage of it. Because, I mean, even Krishna admitted that his standards were pretty high. You know, like when he said, when I came, I was imposing conditions, surrender to me, and then I'll take care of you. But somehow or other, because he had this desire to experience the emotions of Radharani, who is very, very merciful, it appears that's a quality that Lord Chaitanya also had, and therefore we're getting an opportunity to use our individuality in a way that it's easier to make Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya happy somehow or other. Well, the opportunity to surrender to Krishna is always there. You know, like, but it just seems, I mean, this is a chintya for me. It's inconceivable, but because I've heard, you know, Srila Prabhupada say it, I've read it in his books, I kind of accept it. I'm kind of like in the position of that woman who said to Srila Prabhupada, well, I don't feel, you know, that I'm an individual spirit soul that could have a spiritual body. So he just kind of laughed and said, okay, but just hear what the Bhagavad Gita says and accept that. So I'm kind of in that position. You know, where I don't have any direct realization of these things, but this is what this person is saying, and I have faith in it.
Haribo, I have a question. You please help me to understand this. We're reading about the verse in which the family of Krishna, the Yadus, it appears to me that they didn't have a choice. The Lord, by His will, decided that they, you know, create a.
Not really. I don't. The way that I understand a statement like that is that Krishna has created a situation whereby the jiva soul, by exercising its free will in one way, is definitely going to be put into illusion. And if the jiva soul exercises its free will in another way, it will be liberated. That's all by Krishna's arrangement. You know, he could, I think as I stated in one class, just put everybody into a state of susupti and they can't do anything. But, you know, like, Srila Prabhupada was explaining to that boy in that class, said, if I say, come to my class, but if you come, you can't leave, ever, then you won't come. You won't like that. But you're free to come if you come to the class and listen, you'll have the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. If you come and you don't like it, well, that's your choice. You'll remain an illusion. So the way I see it is that Krishna creates that, you know, like Krishna Bahir Mukhahana Bhogavanchakare Nikatashta Mayatari Japati Atari. Krishna says, well, the Shastras say, that if you turn from Krishna, Maya is there to capture you. And so Krishna creates that situation where the soul, being marginal potency, has the ability to choose, and on the basis of that choice, certain results are there by his arrangement. Well, some of these souls, I don't know what percentage exactly, but they were eternal associates who are in a different category than ordinary jivas. Yes. Yeah, that's my understanding. But somebody will say, well, but Krishna decided, so what free will do you have? You know, like, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Because it's Krishna's desire and they want to please Krishna, they go along with it. Yeah. Well, that's the example, like of being an actor in a film. You know, you don't have to do it, but if you agree to do it, then you... Yeah, I think that's the position. Okay, let's continue our roles in this play and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes.